Scripture reading this morning is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the reading of God's word.
If you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be looking at verses 18 through 20 today. 18 through 20. We're just going to look at the first part of these verses, but let's read these, all of them, for our context. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. We're going to spend some time in this text here this morning looking at a couple of points. But perhaps you've heard of the story of a young boy who was observed praying fervently in church by his pastor. As the boy sat throughout the service praying, before the service and after the service praying. But the pastor was curious because from time to time he'd hear the boy say, Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo. And when the service was over, he said to the young boy, he says, I am pleased to see how devoutly you are praying, but why do you keep saying, why do I keep hearing you say, Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo? To which the boy replied, I just had a geography test on Friday, and I've been praying that the Lord would make Tokyo the capital of France. As I mentioned here, we're going to be in chapter 6, and I know that there's periods of time between when we go to Ephesians, but let me just remind you, over the last couple of messages in Ephesians 6, we've looked at the provision that God has given us, has given the believer as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, warrior in the midst of spiritual conflict. Paul here in this text portrays the believer as a soldier whose calling is to take up the armor of God in order that he or she might be able to stand fast. What we talked about and reminded ourselves from this text is that that means to hold their ground. That they would not move, but they would hold their ground. During the spiritual battles which they encounter, Paul calls them to hold their ground. And he lists the pieces of armor that are essential for the believer. And those were truth and righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word. And he turns to a very crucial and vital issue in our text, in the portion of the text that we're going to look at today, and that is prayer. It's prayer. See, a soldier can be dressed in the greatest and strongest set of armor, but unless he knows how to use it, and unless he is directly guided by a wise and experienced leader, his efforts will be fruitless in the battle. And I would suggest to you this morning that in the same way, the believer who has taken up the great armor of God that God has provided must recognize that prayer is the key to standing firm in the midst of spiritual conflict. Prayer is the key to standing firm in the midst of spiritual conflict. See, prayer, as Paul presents it here today, in this text, sorry, is not another piece of the armor. He's not adding on another piece, but it is another discipline which is crucial to the believer's ability to carry out Paul's command in verse 14 that they are to stand. In other words, without prayer, there's little hope of one holding one's ground during the spiritual battle. We can have all of the armor that God has provided for us, but apart from prayer, we will find that that armor is, in a large part, ineffective. It does not help us in and of itself to stand. It is really prayer. I'd like us to consider four aspects of Paul's exhortation to pray out of the whole text that I read today. And really, this morning, we're only going to consider two of them. Some of you have a means or a way of getting upset. And if I preach all four of them today, you'll be upset with me because I'll hold you longer than you want to be here. And so that's meant to be a joke. But you do get upset, to be fair. You do remind me when I go too long. But sometimes wisely. So this morning, I just want to consider two of these. But that doesn't mean that I only have 2 points. See, what any good preacher does is if he only has 2 points, then he comes up with several subpoints. So that's what we're going to do today. And the first key aspect that I want us to consider about prayer is the importance of prayer from this text, the importance of prayer. Just the fact that Paul addresses the issue of prayer at this point in his letter, it brings out the crucial nature of it to the believer who is trying to stand firm in Christ. See, though Paul does not explicitly declare its importance, this is certainly implied when this call to prayer also reminds the believers of two realities. So the importance of prayer, I want us to look at two realities. First, it reminds us that we are in a spiritual conflict. We must remember that the battle that you and I fight as believers is a spiritual battle. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. It's not a battle that is about you and I and how strong and fit and courageous we are in our flesh. It's a spiritual battle. It's always been a spiritual battle. If this were just a matter of sheer physical and material power on the part of the soldier, strength of his body and the effectiveness of his armor, there would be no need for prayer. There would be no need for prayer. Paul, to exhort us to pray. Remember, the ultimate battle is waged with principalities and powers whose domain is a heavenly realm. The armor itself is of itself spiritual in nature. Its effectiveness is a spiritual provision. We need to be reminded that this is a spiritual conflict. It's a spiritual battle. And the second reality that the importance of prayer here reminds us of reminds us of our dependence on God. As we stand fast for Christ, how do we stand? Look at verse 10. He says, back all the way up when he starts, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by what? His vast strength. Be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. His vast strength here, the followers of Christ need to understand that it is absolutely feeble, and they are absolutely helpless without God, without God's provision, without the power of God, without prayer. And it reminds us of the absolute necessity of prayer. It's a sobering reminder that we are totally dependent upon God's grace and provision if we are ever going to stand for Him. See, what's key to understanding this exhortation here at verse 18 when he says pray is that everything that he gives us in verses 11 through 17 that deal with the armor of God, Paul wants us to understand that no matter how well we are armored in the armor of God, it doesn't make you enough. It doesn't make you strong enough. It doesn't somehow give you the ability that all of a sudden you can just charge because you cannot be defeated. That's not the message of that text. The message is to put on the armor because you desperately need the things in your spiritual life that God provides for you, but also then to pray. Because even with the armor, we are not enough. We are not strong enough. We're not good enough. We're not able to do it in and of ourselves and on our own. It shows that we are utterly dependent on God all the time. Even when we are dressed or clothed fully in the provisions that God gives us, we're still dependent on God. 100%. It reminds us of that truth. When we fail to pray, it means that we forget the spiritual nature of our existence, and we forget that we need God in a practical sense. How many times in your life, in the midst of whatever the battle is that you're facing in the moment, or battles, have you felt, I can't do this? Have you felt, I don't think I can press on? I don't have the strength to face this for another moment. I can't take one more ounce of bad news. I can't take and I can't deal with one more ounce of opposition from those who are opposing. How many times have you felt alone? Defeated? And the reality is that we feel that way because in the battle, oftentimes, we forget our need for God. And we forget how much we need God. And we need God's truth, and we need God's Spirit. We forget the work that God wants to do in us. And we march into that battle thinking that we're enough. And we might not ever stand up and say, I'm enough. I can do this. I'm strong enough on my own. But that's how we live. That's how we act. And that's how we move forward sometimes. And Paul's reminding us in this text that that is never true of you and I. We're never enough. We are always dependent on God. And praise God that he keeps us there. Praise God for that truth. Paul's exhortation reminds us of the importance of prayer. Reminds us of the spiritual conflict that we're in. Reminds us of our dependence on God. The second thing that I want to look at this morning, and we're going to spend a little more time here, is the manner of prayer. The manner of prayer. Look with me at verse 18. Notice he says, pray, but then he says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and all intercession for all the saints. As we look at this verse, Paul does not just exhort his readers to pray and to leave it at that. But Paul takes in his exhortation and he sets forth some significant elements regarding the manner of which these believers are to pray. I think that we can see four elements that ought to characterize our prayer here. And I want to look at these four elements and then our time will be done this morning. First, it should be comprehensive. Notice the text. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And notice what he says, with every prayer and request. With every prayer and request. As we think about these terms are used synonymously, and also they serve to, in this text, in the context here, they serve to intensify Paul's demand. Think about those terms by themselves for just a moment. Prayer is really just prayer in general, our approach to God. And you think about requests, it refers to specific requests for particular needs, whether of your own, whether of others, or whatever, any specific request. The point is that by Paul using these two words together, what's Paul doing is he covers the whole gamut of prayer, all of them. And notice also the key words in this verse. Notice how many times he uses all and every. Let me read that verse again. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. We see those words repeated several times in this verse. And really, as we think about that, it should remind us that he emphasizes the comprehensive nature of the prayer that he's calling for. In every prayer, in every way that you pray, in everything that you pray for. We've seen this elsewhere from Paul. He's used these words at different points. Let me just read you a couple texts. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray constantly is the language there. That we would pray constantly. My point is this, that as Paul uses this language, he's showing us that prayer is to be a comprehensive and continual practice. And that should especially be true for the Christian who's engaged in the spiritual battle. And this means there is nothing that we should not pray about. There's no one we should not be praying for. And there's no time that we should not be ready to pray. E.M. Bounds, who is an author, maybe you've read his Purpose in Prayer, but in there he tells of Stonewall Jackson, a great Confederate general. He says he was a man of prayer. And he once said this, and he quotes, I have so fixed the habit of prayer in my mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without asking God's blessing. I never seal a letter without putting a word of prayer under the seal. I never take a letter from the post without a brief sending of my thoughts heavenward. I never change my classes in the lecture room without a minute's petition for the cadets who go out and for those who come in. Brothers and sisters, that is comprehensive prayer. You might be thinking in your mind, I would never get anything else done if I lived my life that way. I think what you would find is that's not true. That's comprehensive prayer. And I would suggest to you and I this morning that that ought to characterize our prayer life. But in the midst of the battles and struggles of our lives, we tend to be preoccupied with the logistics and maneuvers of life. I don't know about you, but when something comes up or something happens, my temptation is to first just plan. Think how to work through this. Think how to figure it out. It's the old adage that for us as men, that if your wife comes and tells you about a problem, she's not necessarily looking for you to fix it, but that's how we're wired, right? So when she tells you that something's wrong, you're trying to figure out how to fix it. But that's really, yes, guys have that problem, but that's really a human problem. Because we immediately want to think about, what do I need to do? How do I fix this problem? What do I do next? What are the next steps that I take? And we're thinking about that, and all of a sudden, it comes to us, man, maybe I should pray about this. Prayer becomes an afterthought, only awakened by the most grave of circumstances. And I want to remind us this morning that this should not be, that we must be comprehensive in our prayer, that we must always be praying. Notice next, there's a second thing here that I want us to see. And that is that it should be spirit controlled. It should be spirit controlled. And we see this in the text when he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. For the believer who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, there should be an intimate involvement of the Spirit in prayer. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes with the saints according to the will of God. I don't know about you, but I have had moments in my life where I do stop to pray and I don't know what to say. I honestly don't know how to pray for this situation. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to seek God's face. I don't know what his will is in this. There are times when our hearts are so heavy that we don't know how to move forward. And that is just true. But I would suggest to you from Paul's text here that the Spirit of God has a special ministry to the believer in regard to prayer. And even when you and I don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. I can remember saying to my wife, I don't know what to pray and I don't know how to pray, when we were praying together about some situation. And yet fully knowing that I was not by myself in that moment, but that I knew that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwelt me, was petitioning on my behalf even when I didn't have words, even when I didn't know what to say. Praying in the Spirit means praying with a recognition of our dependence on the Spirit, but also that the believer is praying under the direction of the Holy Spirit. It means that we need to be bathed in the Word of God, and we need to be yielded to the Spirit's control, that we are to pray under the guidance and leading and in the wisdom and strength that the Spirit provides and supplies. It's another proof that I am not enough and that I am completely dependent on my God. Even in that, I'm dependent on my God. Our prayers should be comprehensive and our prayers should be Spirit controlled. And the third thing out of the four that I want us to see here out of this point is that it should be vigilant. It should be vigilant. I love this point. It should be vigilant. Notice what he says. At all times in the Spirit with every power and request. And what? Stay alert, this text says. Stay alert. It means to stay awake, to lie sleepless, to keep oneself awake, to keep watch over something, to guard or to care for it. Luke 21:36 says, but be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. There is to be a watchfulness. There is to be a readiness. There is to be an alertness in prayer. The Christian soldier is to never fall asleep on the job in carrying out their duty to pray. Some of us can relate to that literally. Have you ever been praying and find your head bobbing, struggling to stay awake? Probably all of us would say yes to that at times, right? Some of you are struggling with that now. But here, what is Paul doing? He's calling us and he's reminding us to stay alert. Be ready, be watchful. We're to be alert, we're to be observant, we're to be careful, always diligent and ready for prayer. And the Christian should never be caught off guard when it comes to prayer. We should never be caught off guard. You think about driving. If we are to be a good driver, then we need to be alert. If you have driven very long, then you know that things come up that you do not always see until all of a sudden they're right there in front of you. My son and daughter were traveling home the other night, and my daughter was driving, and my son was telling me this story, and he told me that as they were traveling home from Cambridge, they were going to cross over 35 right there by Harris. They were coming down the back road. And there was a car that was on the off-ramp coming up from 35, and the car did not stop at the stop sign on the top, but pulled right out in front of them on the road. And they saw the car coming, but they did not know, as none of us would know, that that car was not going to stop. And thankfully, she was able to hit the brakes and skidded the car to a stop, and they didn't hit that person. But that person panicked when they got in front of them, and they also stopped their car. And so then afterwards they took off. But we know that we need to be prepared. We know that we need to keep an eye. And the longer you drive, the more you know that, the more you're aware of that. How many of you have driven with your teens when they first get their license? I remember saying to that same daughter driving down the highway that she's driving, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, that car in front of you is stopping. That car in front of you is stopping. That car in front of you is stopping. Do you see those lights? That car in front of you is stopping. And all of a sudden she would start to apply the brake. And I would think in my head, how do you miss that? Two big bright red lights in front of you. Can I say that our prayer life is often like that? We're not alert. We're not awake. We're not ready. Sometimes we get lazy. We get lazy in our prayer life. And that's when prayer becomes a secondary thing to us. We begin to fight those battles on our own. We begin to take that which is in front of us and we try to conquer it in our own strength. And yet it's not a source, or it's not a way to show that we are strong. It actually is a sign that we're lazy. Because and that we're not faithful, because we don't stop to pray. And we don't consistently pray. And that we're not alert when we pray. Awake. The followers of Christ need to always be ready to apply prayer immediately when the need arises. It should be our first response. Prayer needs to be comprehensive, spirit-controlled, vigilant. And the fourth thing that I'd like us to see this morning is it should be persistent. Notice the phrase that we get this from in this text. When he says, at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, stay alert. And then he says, with all perseverance and intercession for all saints. The word perseverance is persistence, to continue to do something with intense effort, even despite difficulty that you're facing in the midst of it. Romans 12:12 and Colossians 4:2 both encourage us to devote yourselves to prayer. The idea here is that there is to be a continual, devoted effort to the practice of prayer. We are to persevere in it, even during difficult, even during trying times. This reflects the need for self-discipline in prayer. It is something that a Christian is to stick at, to be persistent in his or her practice of it. Tradition has it that early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their private devotions. And the way that they would know that they were doing this is that each one reportedly would have this separate spot in the thicket where they would go to. And they would go there and they would pour out their hearts to God. And many of those paths where those individuals, where those converts would go, and that the paths that they would walk to that spot, to their private prayer spots, became distinctly marked and worn. But it was also true that when one's devotion began to decline, it was soon apparent to others. And they would kindly be reminded, "Brother, the grass grows on your path yonder." As I came across this illustration, as I think about this illustration, it does make me wonder, how would others view the condition of the path that leads to my prayer spot? How would others view yours? And I would dare say that there's oftentimes too much grass on my path. Those who would stand firm for God must persist in kneeling in prayer. By just about all accounts, that most, if not all, of God's greatest servants have been great men of prayer. Let me give you a couple examples. William Carey, the father of missions, was chastised for neglecting his business to pray. John Wesley reportedly spent 2 hours a day in prayer. Martin Luther is said to have set aside three of his best hours for praying, proclaiming he had so much to do that he couldn't get by with any less prayer than that. David Brainerd, a missionary to the Indians, spent whole days in prayer that he might reach them. Why do I share these illustrations with you? Because I would suggest this morning, that the level of our persistence says much about our view of prayer. The level of our persistence says much about our view of prayer. See, when we are devoted and persistent in prayer, then it says we really believe in the necessity of prayer, the value of it, the effectiveness of it. But when we stop praying, when we're lazy in it, it also says that we believe the opposite, that we believe that it's not that important. It really isn't necessary. That we believe that God doesn't really use prayer to accomplish his purposes. And when we truly grasp the necessity of prayer, our dependence on God, then and only then will you and I be motivated to persist in prayer. See, we as believers must be persistent in prayer. We are to be tenacious in our pursuit of it. Nothing should keep us from it. Nothing should hinder our practice of it. Prayer is the key to standing firm during spiritual conflict. Bring us right back to where we started. Prayer is the key to standing firm in spiritual conflict. Believers must recognize the importance of prayer. Remember that they're engaged in a spiritual battle. Remember that we are utterly dependent on God. Believers must recognize the key aspects of prayer. First, it's manner, that it's comprehensive, that it's spirit-controlled. We are to be vigilant and persistent. Is this what characterizes the manner of your prayer life? If we're going to stand firm for Christ, if we're going to stay the course in our walk with him, then we must resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. Then we must stand firm. Be persistent in our prayer. I asked you a question earlier about how often have you felt like you don't have the strength, you're not enough. And if I was here to just puff you up, I would tell you that's not true. You are enough. But I'm here to tell you that you're not. I'm not. You and I, in and of ourselves, are not enough. You and I need to trust God in every aspect of the spiritual battle. You and I need to trust that which God gives in every way to protect us in that spiritual battle. The fact that prayer is what really keeps us fixed firm in the midst of that battle doesn't mean that the armor is worthless. It means that's God's provision to protect you and I, to ready us for that battle. But that the point is that we would not enter into, that we would not go into that battle, that we would recognize that we will never stand firm if we also don't recognize our utter dependence on God. And that only happens through prayer. Let's pray. God, as we look at this text this morning, we are thankful for that which you taught the Apostle Paul in his life, that which he taught to others. And Lord, how you have preserved your word and continue to teach others through these words even today. Lord, I am so thankful for a church that loves to pray, that is faithful in prayer. But Lord, we also understand as we are in here today and we're reminded by this text that there are times in our lives that when we're not as persistent and faithful as we ought to be. Lord, I know, as you have reminded me, that that is true in my own life. Lord, I pray that this word today would be an encouragement to the hearts and souls that hear it, as it has been to mine. Thank you, God, that you remind us that we are not enough. Thank you, God, that you remind us that we were never meant or intended to fight this battle on our own. It's an impossibility. And that we would put that thought out of our heads, that we would run to you, that we would embrace you through your word, that we would know you more fully, that we would cling to you, knowing that we are utterly dependent on you as you speak to us through your word, through the truth of your word, as you change our own hearts and our own minds, as you direct our thoughts and our emotions. Lord, may we stand fast in the midst of the battle. And may we stand fast in a way that people see you and are glorified, that you are glorified through your faithful servants who are desperately clinging to your word, to your truth, and standing fast in your power, knowing the work of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the good gifts that you give us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that indwells each and every one that is trusted in the person and work of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and has been made right with the Heavenly Father. I pray that if there's one in here today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they would understand today that they are separated from you by their sin. That there is no power, there is no strength. But Lord, you stand at the door and knock, and you plead for that one to open. And I pray that they would understand that through your word, they can believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. They can know you as Heavenly Father. They too can know the strength that you share that is ours today when they trust in the person and work of Christ. Help us who do know you to be faithful. Help us to remind each other, to encourage each other to be faithful, that we would stand. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in our lives. Thank you for your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.